Okay, John Schmidt, 203 South Quivira, Montezuma, June 19th, 2006. Okay. All right, what we have is just a series of questions, and we basically ask the same questions of everyone,
mm-hmm.
and then we sort of go off on tangents because everyone's experience is different.
Yeah.
Do you remember when World War II started in 1939? How old were you and what you were doing?
Well, in 39, see, that's when Hitler went into Czechoslovakia, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I must have been about 13, probably.
Okay. Do you remember much discussion about it in the community or how people felt?
Not too much. You know, it's been long ago. I forgot about everything already.
Yeah. Okay, well, then, but the date that most people remember is Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were and how you heard about that?
Yeah. I was home, and of course, we didn't have no radio, nothing in our house, so neighbor boy come over, he told me, said, we'd been out to Dodge something that night, and we come home, and he said, when he got home, he heard it on the radio, so he told me the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I heard about it.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember the reaction, how you felt or what you thought?
Well, I just figured it don't involve me. I'll never get into that deal.
And you would have been maybe 15, 16 at that time?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Okay, do you remember your parents, what they said or they felt?
No, I really don't remember that anymore, but I know they... Like I said, they was worried about that, you know, as far as it be drafted to the Army, they was worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't much remember much of anything.
Okay, now you were on a farm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you thought surely that because you were on a farm, you wouldn't be drafted at least.
Well, I was deferred for 2 years on account of the farm deferment.
Okay.
Because I had one younger brother, and he couldn't take care of everything, so. Of course, I was only 16, but I was deferred for 2 years or so.
And do you remember, did you have to apply for that deferment, or did they just give
no,
it?
No, we had to apply for it. I think my dad went into the draft board, or the board here in town, you know, and they gave me deferment.
Okay, and were most of your friends and the young men in the community also?
Yeah, you know, most of it was, I don't know, I had a neighbor boy, he was my best friend, he had a deferment too for a couple of years, because his mother was a widow, and she just had one younger son too than him, so he was deferred for, I think, about 3 or 4 years. He just got in the tail end of it, I guess.
Okay, all right. So then in 1944, you were drafted.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did you receive that news?
Yeah, I just knew I was drafted, I had to go. That's the way it was, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And did you get a letter? Is that how you found out about it?
Yeah, just a letter from the, I don't remember just what it said, but you... been drafted and you gotta go. I don't remember what I just said, but I know we got a letter sent from the president, you know, and,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and to report such a time, and that was it.
And when you reported, that was for your
physical. Well, I went to Leavenworth, and I never got to come home. This is from Leavenworth. They sent me to Camp Roberts in California, and then that was it.
And did you choose to be in the Army, or you were drafted into the Army?
I was drafted into the Army.
Okay. And was this your first time away from home?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it was different. You know, I came from a big family. It was 13 children,
mm-hmm.
and so it was really different. I'd hardly ever been out of the county, you know.
Mm-hmm. And did you, take a train to...
Yeah, it was a troop train to California.
Mm-hmm.
I know it took us 5 days. I can't remember. It was a terrible trip, you know. Old cars going through the mountains. We had... terrible hot weather, the windows opened, got all black, you know, from the smoke. It's quite a deal.
Was there anyone else from Montezuma or anyone else you knew that went in with you?
No.
Okay.
There was a couple of boys from Eagles. So was an Eichenhauer boy, Eichenhauer and another boy, I forget what his name was.
Okay.
That's the only one I ever got to anybody I knew in the Army all the time was a boy from Topeka. His name was Jesus Rodriguez.
Oh.
A Spanish boy.
Mm-hmm.
And we went overseas together. We was in the same outfit together. And we was the only ones two left in our unit we got, the war was over with.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Yeah. Did you keep in touch with him?
Well, never did after the Army.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're on your way to California for, is that for basic training?
Yeah. Yeah, for basic.
I
got to finish my basic. You know, Battle of the Bulge happened. They sent us all overseas. I got three day delay in route. That's all the time I ever come home, all the time I was in the Army.
Oh my gosh.
Never had a furlough, nothing, all the time I was in there.
Did you receive your basic training?
No, I didn't get even finished that. They just put us on a plane in Santa Barbara, south of Kansas City. Then I got to come home for 3 days. Well, that's 3 days I had to come home, which I was home by about a day, really. But train travel, and then they just put me back on a plane and sent us to New Jersey. That's where we sent overseas from New Jersey, out of Camp Kilmer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
What were you thinking when you were flying on? That was your first plane ride,
yeah,
too.
Well, it was terrible cold. The heater wouldn't work, and we took our shoes off to our duffel bag of our clothes to keep our feet warm.
How many people were on that plane?
I don't know. It was full, probably 20 or something. So, you know, we just sat on the side, that kind of a bench that we sat on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, in basic training you had received, you had learned how to handle the rifle and...
Oh, yeah. But all we did is walk down. It seemed like we walked 20 miles a day, every day.
Okay.
So...
Now, were you probably accustomed to a gun because of growing up on a farm and hunting?
Well, shoot jackrabbits, that's all I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way I was brought up, I could never kill a man. That was just strictly against my moral. I couldn't. Well, even got overseas, come to face to face, I could have killed a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Okay, so, and you were aware that the Battle of the Bulge had started, and you knew that's why you were going?
Not really.
No.
You know, we didn't find out nothing when I was there. just gossip around camp. I just knew I was going overseas, that's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thought, just one ship going overseas, real fast one. I know it was, there was 12,000 of us on that ship. And,
okay.
And it went 38 knots, we'd change course every 5 minutes.
And why would you do that?
So the submarines couldn't get lined up on us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And usually went on a convoy, but we just one ship goes fast. It took us clear down the south coast of Africa and then back up again.
Oh.
And it only took us 12 days at that. Long ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It didn't, you know, I always say, well, I'll get to England, I'll stay there for a couple of weeks. Like, what did happen? They just put us on a train, went to Le Havre, France, and put us on an LST in the channel and just sent us right across. And it was 18 days after the last day, I was on the front line.
And while you were on the ship, were you still training or you were just,
No.
What did you do to pass the time?
Well, you know, a lot of people know you talk a lot. But
was it hard going in? How old were you when you...
I was 20.
20. Okay, was it hard to take orders and to, you know, that discipline?
Well, I guess maybe it was, but I didn't realize how much, you know, I just know. But I got on the front line, I got to think to myself, I didn't, every time they told me something, I did what they didn't, because I was going to try to stay alive.
Yeah, smart. Okay, so you landed in France, and then you were marched up to the front?
No, we went on trucks.
Trucks.
Yeah.
Okay, and what did they tell you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, and so when you got there, what happened? What did you do?
Well, we just went to Cup CP. It was an old barn about 2 miles from the line. It was just getting dark. They said, there were seven of us replacements. They said, three of you got to go up that front line. And I was one of the three, and I was lucky because they bombed that barn that night.
Oh.
And then other men said they all got hit with shrapnel.
Mm-hmm.
So
you were replacing troops that had lost their life?
Yeah, well we'd been hit in with there's not on the front line anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people that got hit, they just got wounded and went to the hospitals back in England somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't know that at the time, but...
Mm-hmm. And do you remember where this was?
It was in Luxembourg, that's all I know.
Okay. And could you describe what a day was like? Would there have been a typical day?
Well, we'd get up in the morning, have something to eat, and then we just messed around all day. Didn't do nothing, just waited until they brought some trucks up, and they took us up to the front line.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to the front line, you know, the Germans got a lot of the American captain took their clothes, wore them, and we was on a truck in Belgium, and they was in there, and they had AMPs to direct traffic where to go, and they direct traffic the wrong way. The Germans took over that job, and that's all I remember about that mm-hmm. trip. Most it was terrible cold. I was open truck in the back. It was terrible cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it was the last of January, and.
Mm-hmm. So what, you were carrying a pack?
When I got first of all, I was carrying a little pack, and.
And what would have been in that pack?
I think gas mask and a blanket. That's all I remember.
And what did you do for food?
Well, they gave us K rations, you know, the little box that was, and I don't know if breakfast rations would be a can of scrambled eggs and ham and a pack of coffee, Nescafe coffee, and, you know, instant coffee, and that's all I can remember.
Hmm. And then you would have also for your dinner and supper, you would have K rations too?
Yeah, we mostly scrounged off for the land. We lived off the land pretty much. Our supplies didn't catch up with. It was always just, we'd get to the little village, we'd take what we, that was one guy's job in the squad, to find food for the rest of us. That was his job.
Okay. And he would just go into a home and take the food?
Yeah, whatever he could find, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how were the people, I know that you were busy fighting, but did you come in contact with the Belgium or the French or?
No, we never did.
Okay. You just kept moving up?
Yeah, we was in our unit, you know, and then we just went up and never got in contact with any other, not even our same company, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a squad, you know, it was, I think, 50 people to a squad, and that's pretty much all, just directly around us, all we ever got in contact with anybody.
Mm-hmm. And there was a squad leader who knew what you were doing?
Well, he was supposed to know.
Did he tell you what you were doing, though?
Yeah.
He would tell you to what, move forward, or?
He said, we got to move, he said, then we'd go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one instance I remember real well was, we'd come to a little town, we got, every time come past the first building, you know, the Germans left about half a mile away and they start shooting at us, and we milled around there for a little while, then our lieutenant was, I guess, our platoon leader, he says, we gotta go, and he points, two guys, you gotta go first, and that one guy, he wouldn't go, he says, well, he was shell-shocked, he was mentally bad, then he pointed to me, he says, you're gonna go, and you and the other guy gonna be 100 yards ahead of everybody else. Boy, I'll tell you, I started praying, because I got past that building, I'd been shot at. Mm-hmm. But you know, I went all the way up there, they didn't shoot one time, they shot at us.
Hmm.
I think my prayers, my parents' prayers, I think saved me, the only thing saved me, because I had no other reason. Because
mm-hmm.
they'd been shooting all the time, we got up there, and I got there right next to the woods, and I seen a machine gun, and there was two German behind, had his finger on the trigger, but he didn't pull the trigger. I looked right at him, he never pulled the trigger.
Really? Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do? You went into the woods and...
Yeah, we got in there. Well, it was a German pillbox. That's where the troops, there was about 500 of them there, you know. I think we got 600 prisoners that day. And there was very little fighting going. They just more or less gave up.
Mm-hmm. And when they gave up, they would what? How would you know that they were giving up?
Well, we just knew they gave up, and we'd... And we just thought we were sending back to what we call the rear echelon, because we didn't take care of the prisoners, but we sent them back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We just told them going back, and they started walking back. And
they had laid down their guns.
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay. Now, you couldn't speak to them. I mean, you didn't know German, they didn't know English.
Well, I was talking Dutch. I could speak enough German that I'd, because my dad always read the Bible in German, so I...
Okay.
And so I learned enough German that I could get by.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have that much contact with them. Just so.
Okay. So, can you then maybe describe what happened to you during that Battle of the Bulge, and then as that, I guess, came to a conclusion, what did you do then?
Well, we just moved forward. You know, we got through the Siegfried Line. I think we went through the Siegfried Line about 20 different times. We broke through the Siegfried Line.
Okay.
And of course, then we got moving so fast that our supplies didn't catch up with us, and we walked clear across Germany, and I got to Austria and Czechoslovakia. I was in Czechoslovakia when the war was over, but 100 miles from Prague. We could have taken Prague, but the Potsdam Agreement, they'd made this agreement that the Russians would take Prague, and so we was glad to wait.
Right.
We survived that long. We didn't want to go to France if we didn't have to. Oh.
Well, I mean, you said that you prayed a lot and that you did survive.
Yeah.
When you were... What did you survive? Being shot at?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, there's different incidents. I forgot most everything, but certain incidents stand up. One time we was at a little, the town was down on the river, just a little below us. We was at a rock quarry, and the Germans was across, and they were shooting wooden bullets that day at us. And we'd take three guys, two, three guys, and we ran as fast as we could down the railroad track to get to the I guess the loading dock to bus, and they'd shoot us, we'd weave around. Of course, the wooden bullets were very accurate, but quite a few fellas got hit. And that bullet made a terrible wound when it splintered, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get hit, I got down there.
Now, why were they using wooden bullets?
I don't know.
Had they run out of the other kind?
I have no idea. That's the only time I've seen them use wooden bullets.
Any other incidents that you remember that you... I mean, I noticed that you got several accommodations. The Victory Medal, two bronze, Purple Heart, etc.
Well, I remember when I got hit with shrapnel, that there was in the woods too, and them shells come in there in the treetops, then they burst and shrapnel all comes out, it gets a lot more men than in the open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky that day, I just got a little shrapnel in my back is all.
Mm-hmm.
But the man next to me had big wounds in his legs, and I was just lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Lord looked after me, I think.
You must have had other things to do. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm a big believer in prayer. My parents at home was praying for me every day, and I prayed a lot too in instances like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that there's any... what you call them, don't believe in anything.
Oh, the atheist?
Yeah, I don't think there's an atheist on the front line.
Yeah. Well, were you able to write your parents or receive letters from your parents?
Yeah, I try to write my parents at least once a week, you know, and those little airmail things we'd send. Of course, they always send them. You couldn't write much what's going on. But mm-hmm. We didn't know anything else but just drive to our area anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what was going on in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. What would you tell your parents?
Tell them I was okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's about all I could tell them, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then they would write you, and how often would you receive mail?
I don't think I can remember ever getting the mail, but I'm sure I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know some I've talked to said their parents would send them, like cookies or something like that. Did your parents, were they able to send things to you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, our kitchen never caught up with us. They never fed us anything.
Mm-hmm.
We lived strictly on K-ration, but we could scrounge off the land.
Yeah.
Ate a lot of eggs.
Were you able to get meat and milk? And
no.
No?
Oh, we got some. We'd kill their rabbits. You know, a lot of people had the devil. We call them tame rabbits. We'd butcher them. Boy, their people complained.
And how would you cook them then?
We'd just skin them and fry them.
Okay, so you had a little stove or you built a fire?
No. We'd been in the people's house, you know. We'd,
oh.
In this German's house, we'd just go in there and find food we could find and fix it needed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, the Germans had been the other countries, they had just stripped the other countries of everything, so we didn't feel too much sympathy for taking their food, because
mm-hmm.
they always had food there, and we'd always find something.
Mm-hmm.
And one time was the kind of a break, we got to a place, and I read an article about the Reader's Digest a while back, about where all that gold and our treasure was stored in a big salt mine. We got in on that, got to clean that out.
Really?
That was really a break for us there.
Oh, my God.
We was there 2 weeks cleaning that. I know the mine was 12, we was down to 1,200 feet in the salt mine cleaning that stuff out.
And tell me more specifically about that. Do you remember where it was located?
Nope.
Just somewhere in Germany.
Well, in the Reader's Digest it said the town, but I couldn't remember. It was also been little towns. I remember the town where I was wounded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember that really the name of it, but I know it's just a little burg.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were just happened on this cave and they said...
No.
No.
They'd already found that, and then they pulled us off the front line for 2 weeks and got down there and got to help clean that thing place up.
Okay, and what does that mean, to clean it out?
No, just cleaned out, you know, they, I suppose, try to take it back where it belonged, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know the gold was in bags about that big, one bag is all we could carry, you know. Never in my head try to take a little of it.
I know.
I had no excess weight to carry around.
So you just loaded it up on trucks and then...
No, we load on trailers and then they take it to the elevator shaft. They take it up, put it on trucks, flatbed trucks.
Oh, what was it like down in that cave?
Oh, it was nice. Just as nice could be. It's all lit up, you know, and it was nice down there.
Hmm.
You know, salt looked kind of, you know, it was just like rock. It's just about, it was just rock, you know.
Mm-hmm. And had they had prepared that, or it was just a natural cave?
Just a natural salt cave.
Okay.
The salt mine's what it was.
Okay. How interesting. And so mainly it was gold that you were loading?
And art treasure, you know, that high-priced art they stole from the Louvre in France and every place else.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when you looked, there was all kind package up yet, or they just sit down and get lying against the wall. We just pick it up, put it in the trailer, mm-hmm. and haul up. I don't know what mm-hmm. they done with it. I have no idea of it.
Mm-hmm. What were you thinking while you were doing that?
Just glad to be off the front line.
Okay. All right. Now, was that before you were wounded?
I don't remember anymore.
Okay. And how were you wounded? Just with the sharp shrapnel?
Yeah. A tree burst. The shell burst the tree. The shrapnel come down, hit me in the back.
And did you continue to stay with your unit?
Oh, yeah. Well, that went to medic. He just took a tweezers and picked the shrapnel out, and then he put some sulfur powder on it, put a big bag on it, says, go on your way. That's what I said.
Well, okay. So this... you came in 44 and you were in Czechoslovakia at the end of the war in 45. How did you get other supplies, like other clothes and things like that? Did they bring them up to you?
Yeah, one time I've been on the front line about, I think about three, maybe 2 months, and then the truck come down and took a place to take a shower to get a new change of clothes. Oh boy, we needed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that's dead out of my, you know, all those men was on the line, hadn't shaved, and they was off, you always had a wine bottle with a wick in, kerosene, that's what had a light, you know. They was all black, and I didn't know any of that. When they got cleaned up, I didn't know any of them.
Well, that doesn't sound very pleasant. Yeah. But when you're fighting a war, you can't be concerned about that.
No.
What about your unit? Would you say that you were good friends with those?
Well, we had so many replacements, you know. We never got very close to anybody, really.
Mm-hmm. And were they from all over the United
yeah.
States?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that different, interesting to get, well, you said you really didn't get to know them, but what did you learn about people in the United States from the different parts?
I don't know, we never did difference. I know one fellow was with us, he'd been a musician in New York, and he had the idea, he says, when my time comes, I'm going to go regardless. That's how he got killed. I know I was laying flat on my back and on my shoulder, on my belly, you know. He was sitting on his knees, and I told him to get down. He wouldn't, when he just, machine burst, just about cut him in half. If he had laid down, it wouldn't got him, you know.
Yeah.
He just said, about my time to go, I'm going to go anyway, no matter what.
Yeah. Was that hard to see the loss of life?
Yeah, it was, you know, but you really didn't know. You never stayed in one place longer. You never knew what happened afterwards, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as you went across Germany, were you engaged in fighting or?
Yeah, taking villages all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, our entry, you know, we took the little towns, the armor went through the big towns and
mm-hmm.
it went through the little town, but that was a bad part. The armor just line up at the edge of town and open all their guns and just go through town, and people all scared and got to the little village. Then we'd catch all the little village, all where all the soldiers went to the little villages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. And when you were going through Germany or in the Battle of the Bulge, did you know what was going on with the war effort?
No, not really.
No.
We just knew we figured we'd be getting better because we were moving so fast. You know, every day at first we didn't move much. We'd move maybe 1,000 yards at night, but later on when we got further, then we'd move maybe 10 miles a day, you know.
So you thought that the war was going for our side?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you got into Czechoslovakia, was that any different than being in Germany?
Wouldn't it? I couldn't tell any different. Or Austria, when it's all the same, no different.
Okay. All right. And where were you when you heard that the war in Europe was over?
That's why we was waiting there outside of Prague.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us the war was over with.
And what did you think?
I was just glad we're still alive.
And did you think that you would be able to come home, or?
Well, we didn't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I stayed over there a year after the war was over with.
Yeah.
In the army of occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we'd have to go to Korea, so we was afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or Japan, I guess. And
mm-hmm.
to the Pacific, but then that was over with too, so. And we got put in the army of occupation there in Germany, and
mm-hmm.
that was, I had it made then.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that. Where were you when you heard that we had dropped the atomic bomb in Japan?
I was back in Germany, I think. It took us to a little town of Tischenruth, I think was the place. That's where we stayed for a couple of months. And
mm-hmm.
I guess that's where I heard that it dropped the bomb.
Okay. And then, of course, you knew that you wouldn't be going to Japan.
Yeah, at least we hope not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as the Army of Occupation, What did you do? You were over there a year. What did you do?
Well, I'll tell you. That's what I did. We went to a place in what would be the county seat.
Mm-hmm.
And we check all their records. So I did check any records, but because my job was just to, if they found somebody that had to be arrested, I'd go arrest that person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it made, really. We was right on Danube River. Had a boat to run around. I really had it made.
Hmm. Now, what kind of people would they be arresting?
You know, they had, you know, fill questionnaires in German for the German government, and we come in, they didn't know we had those records. We had to fill out another questionnaire, and they could back check, you know.
And to see what they had done during the war?
Yeah. So, and I met a man from, he was originally from Canada, his name was Pete Colline. He could speak seven languages, and he went over there to visit his parents in Romania in 1939, and the Germans captured and put him in a concentration camp. He was in a concentration camp for 7 years.
Oh.
He was really interesting man. I sure liked that old man.
Mm-hmm. And how did you meet him?
Well, right, he was in a little town. There's only six of us GIs in that town.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Had a nice house, maids, you know. So that's where I met him. He had his family here with him. His wife, his son was with him. His son, I think, was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They'd been with him when they got thrown in the concentration camp. So.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very interesting man.
Were you were then aware of the concentration camps?
Yeah, oh yeah, we even come to a concentration during the war one time, released all the people in there. That was a terrible sight. But, you know, we didn't ever stick around. We just turned off the gate, we let them out, and we went on. We didn't stick around.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember which one it was?
I have no idea.
Somewhere in Germany?
Yeah, it was in Germany, but I have no idea which one it was.
Mm-hmm. And the Nazis had fled that by the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Back to the occupation. Were you in this same village the whole time?
No, I was in different ones. First one, I was in the little town of, I think it was Amberg.
Mm-hmm.
Amberg, Salzbach. Well, it's been a steel mill town, is what that was. And I know there we lived in the man owned steel mill. We lived in his house. Man, it was a nice house.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we had maids and cooks to cook for us. So I figured we'd have it made.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big army camp, well, there's a prison camp for the German, America's camp. There's all SS troops in that camp. And I'd go down there I'd go in there by myself, you know, go in there, big old SS off coming in and ask me what I want. I told him, what about seven men to come cut wood for me?
Mm-hmm.
I'd put him in a truck and take him back where he was living and have him cut wood. I'd sit in my house across the road and watch him cut wood.
Okay.
But they never extracted skate. They knew they had a good place to stay and food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a civilian population had to scrounge around to get something to eat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew they was well off. They didn't give me no problem.
Mm-hmm. What were your feelings about them?
People, that's all I...
Mm-hmm.
I never...
Mm-hmm.
When I look back at some of the things I did, I'm wondering I'm alive today, I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no.
Okay, so the whole time you were in the occupied, or it was occupied, you basically just moved from village to village when they told you to?
Yeah, they just, well, I went one place I was, the first place I was, they got a order for another man to move, but I guess the officer didn't like me, said, no, you send John to this. And I was glad that, because it lost a better place anyway. Beautiful
okay.
place in the Alps, you know, and right on Danube River, and it was a pretty place.
Mm-hmm. So,
it was right with the Russians were right on board with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dumb thing. One time I had the boat, you know, and I was going down the Danube River. I sheared off a pin, and of course I went over the side. I never thought about the Russians being over there. I thought it was a close place to go, so I went down there. Border patrol come, took me off to jail and says, "You stay here." And I don't know what he's doing. He's going to go get the Russians, you know. Boy, I got out of there.
Smart.
Went over there, quick put the pin in that. Propeller, lucky I had a pin for that, and I went back across the river and I heard nothing about it after that.
So what did people think about the Russians?
Oh, they were scared of the Russians. Oh, they were scared of them.
Mm-hmm. Just of their reputation?
Well, you know, before I got, you know, in the occupation at first, you know, we'd have roadblocks and we'd check all the people going by, you know, check their papers and stuff. And then, well, then when we'll get away from the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they treated the Russians real bad. And
yeah.
They were scared of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you were on, every day you had duties to do, but when you had spare time, during this time, what would you do? Would you go to other villages? Would you?
No. Pretty much stay right where we was at.
Okay.
Like I say, I had a boat, so I'd run in a boat once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Okay, now, did you, like, just visit, talk, play cards, or?
I don't think we ever played cards, but we visited a lot, you know, between us. Like, there were seven of us there, and of course, we was pretty good buddies by that time, so we.
Mm-hmm.
But there really wasn't much we could do with anything, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that most people, or that when you get a picture of the soldier, they're smoking. Did most of them smoke around?
Oh, yeah. I know, I never smoked, so. But they gave us a carton of cigarettes every week. I just turned around and sold mine for $20, started a black market.